Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I would say I would.
You have two on here that I'm wondering if they tie together.
Oh no, they definitely don't.
Hooters.
I feel like is overrated. I mean, like it's. I think the millennials were killing it. I think that was an article from months ago. But
millennials are killing it, bro.
Yeah, we're crushing.
Crushing it.
Our dads say killing it. We're fucking crushing it, dude.
They're now into. Butt-storants? What are they called?
Because breastaurants.
Breastaurants are
like
Hooters.
Twin Peaks and right. Hooters and the other ones. And Tilted Kilt.
Tilted Kilt is more popular now because millennials are more into butts.
Yeah, but I think they're
and Scottish culture.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly Scottish
and
culture.
And a lot of, I think the other thing, though, too, because we discussed sort of the downfall of certain restaurants, namely Hooters, is because I think Tilted Kilt actually does like from scratch stuff. Like they're not just like they try and make the food as much as possible.
The gastropub
of
local sourced fresh stuff.
Oppressing patriarchy restaurants.
Right.
Yeah, I was at home over the holiday and I like saw an old picture of me like at my 15th birthday at a Hooters because like that's the perfect time to go when you're 15.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's like, oh my God, there's
this
boobs.
Is what straight guys you do, can, Jono.
You can eat a disgusting burger with...
And you had a burger?
Oh, I mean, and wings.
Ugh. I don't know why I was so disgusted by that.
The wings aren't any better.
Yeah, right? I guess.
That's the whole point is like, it's bad food.
Yeah, no, it is across the board.
It's terrible food. And like the novelty of there being boobs there should have worn off post 16. I'm surprised anyone over 18 goes to Hooters.
Well, yeah.
Everyone is way over 40 that goes to Hooters now. It's a very specific demo they got.
Yeah.
God. Oh. Have you ever seen just like a family or like a married couple
at Hooters?
Just the exhausted looking wife just being like, sure.
Yeah.
I used to see a lot. I used to go to watch Laker games at the Hooters in Burbank in college. And that's when I would see couples a lot. And then you would sometimes see just someone was like, okay, well, this is your date night pick.
Yeah. It's only at the very beginning of relationships, like early dates. And
yeah,
then
you're like, it's fun.
The very the ironic, like,
we'll go to Hooters. It'll be so funny.
And it's fine because we're dating. So yeah. It's not like you care about the boobs or the person writing their name so nicely.
I would imagine, like, how hard would it be to pitch Hooters the restaurant now?
I mean, Tilted Kilt and these other places came up in the last 10 years, so it can't be that hard.
Yeah,
I guess if you use the model that if we imagined Hooters didn't exist
and now
it's just coming out, you'd be like,
like, it's easier to say, we're doing the butt version of Hooters.
Right.
We're doing the...
the restaurants now.
Yeah, just like from scratch, though. What a concept.
Me too. More like me too. Two great knockers on that one.
Whoa! Ring the fucking alarm.
Yeah. The Ezra Klein podcast this week is about, he's interviewing these people who wrote a book about, like, at first it sounded like one of those whack, like, you know, I'm a college professor and these kids are out of hand with their protesting and stuff, but they were talking, one of the things that sounded true that they were talking about is how unhappy social media has made kids who have, like, grown up with it their whole life. Generation Z, the mental health statistics for kids born, I think, like, after 95 is just really, like, off the charts bad.
Oh, wow.
Because of, you know, the shit, like, one of the things I talked about that I hadn't really thought about is, you know, not getting invited to someone's house or, like, not being invited to a thing was just something that I suspected, but I didn't have to, like, sit there and look at pictures posted live.
Digital evidence in front of your face.
They would just tell you at school on Monday.
Right.
You could be like, Jack, where were you?
Yeah. And
Facebook gives you a report about how popular you are.
Yeah. And the pictures of it will make it look way more fun than it actually was.
And you get basically with likes and shit, you have a ongoing social score, like, tab that you can just kind of look at your score and be like, man, nobody follows me. Yeah. I don't get likes. What the fuck is going on?
But the statistics for suicide and self-harm for young people is just way, way up.
So, oh, sure.
Yeah. That sucks.
Can't handle the, like, amped up version of hormones.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you could also, like, you could lie to yourself when there wasn't social media about how good you were doing too.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, yeah, I'm fine, man. Right. Like, I'm having the best time.
It was just easy to, dismiss.
Yeah.
Like, the negative thoughts.
And
you could
live in, like, a fake world where, like, you still might be able to play college football.
Right.
Even though you're in your third year of community college.
Right.
Whereas, like, yeah, now on social media, everyone can just lay everything out right there for you to compare.
There's no middle ground either. Either you're, like, popular and you're extra inflated, like, sense of self,
right,
which is, like, completely built on sand. Like, you're not that cool. That's the thing, is I was overconfident without social media.
right
when I wasn't getting likes on that Hooters poster.
Yeah,
or whatever. Imagine, like, you know, the opposite, where it's like, oh, I feel like kind of a loser. Oh, and yeah, like, I feel like extra compounded negative.
And they also pointed to parents being more overprotective and not letting kids make mistakes, and that like kind of shifted right when the crime rate went down. Like, parents, like,
weird,
just started, for whatever reason, being like, nah, you can't play outside until you're a teenager.
Fucking hell.
I know. I used to play in traffic, like, when I was, I would just ride my bike all over town at age 5. Like,
yeah. Simpler times.
Get outside, a lot of mistakes. Kids.
When you said you played in the street, I thought of the movie The Program, and I thought of you laying down in the street, like, waiting for the cars to ride over you.
Yeah, they got that idea from me.
An 8-year-old.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, let your kids crash their bike, commit light arson.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I also see parents who are, like, just cleaning their kids constantly. Just like, yo, little kids are supposed to be fucking disgusting.
Yeah, they're vaccinating themselves.
Yeah, and just, introducing all kinds of new bacteria, though, too. Or, like, I see people, like, who are like, let me wipe your fucking, like, finger webbings down, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, yo, let this kid fucking rock in the dirt.
I picked my 8-month-old up over the weekend, and a piece of, like, a metal screw fell out of his mouth. I was like, what the fuck was that? He's just, you know, just
maybe don't let him eat, like,
your shop supplies,
you know.
He was eating a bunch of drywall screws.
I was like, oh, he's exploring the house.
Because
he just learned how
sweater
to, like, crawl a little bit, and he's just putting everything. He's... I'm kind of looking forward to just getting an x-ray of him to see all the different like foreign bodies that are in his stomach.
It looks like the cross-section of a spaceship or something.
Miles, the headline on this next story is, oh yeah, that Mueller thing.
Yeah, there's been so much news. I forgot you forget that shit's going on in D.C. constantly. I forgot about it. And then you look at the president's tweets on Monday, and you're like, oh, okay. Because it's a good, we get an idea of what his current panic attacks are about.
Right.
So this one was, when Mueller does his final report, will he be covering all of his conflicts of interest in a preamble? Will he be recommending action on all of the crime? And he just goes on and on. Hundreds of people close. He's just trying to, I don't know, act as if, believe what's about to come out, whatever this report is, and because he never asked other people who would tell him that there was no collusion.
He's using the all-effective, look, there may have been people who committed crimes in my campaign, but think about all the people who didn't.
Who didn't.
Campaign.
And he didn't ask them if they didn't.
Right.
So, wow, okay, just go after the people that did. That's fair.
Right.
All 12 of my interns.
Right.
Right.
Clean records.
Yeah, but it does seem like, I don't know, people in the know, and I'm going to include the president on that because he is the president and the subject of this report.
But witch hunt.
There seems to be something bubbling
There's
up.
There's a lot cooking.
Alan Dershowitz, who has always been on the president's side when it comes to this report, came out and said, I think the report is going to be devastating to the president, and I know that the president's team is already working on a response to the report. He said that on this week yesterday with George Stephanopoulos. So I think people are vaguely aware that Mueller has his report about to drop, and it's not going to be good for the president.
It's going to make the story of Adidon even look, it'll make that look tame. But yeah, because there are other people around the Mueller investigation that are also like just saying all kinds of stuff, like Jerome Corsi, who is like the former DC bureau chief for InfoWars and birther conspiracy theorist and John Kerry Swift boat guy. Like, he's out here like doing on One America News, which is like the fucking even zanier non-news thing for right-wingers.
Right.
They were like, we can exclusively report that Jerome Corsi is going to like reject his plea deal with Mueller and then sue him and then also drop a book about his, quote, Gestapo-style tactics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So that can't be. I mean, clearly that man is in a tailspin. Like, the idea that he's going to have a book or something that's going to exonerate him, I'm not sure what's going on there. Then George Papadopoulos, he had to go to jail Monday and was like asking, like in the last minute, he tried to like, you know, push back and be like, yo, I actually shouldn't be going to jail. And the judge was like, see you Monday, man.
Just, right.
You're going. And I don't care what you think the law is, but you are going. So, yeah, we'll see. And then also there's going to be a report that Mueller puts out on Manafort's cooperation. Is a status report. So we'll know just how cooperative and, you know, easy to work with Mr. Manafort has been.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So there could be, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But one thing I also did read is that the, like, as more and more people leave the White House, especially for, like, general counsel for the White House, they're like, oh, man, like, the White House is so horribly ill-prepared for, like, the coming subpoenas and all these other things Democrats are about to go ham on in terms of investigating and things like that. So this can't be, add that to the pile of the Mueller report coming out soon, maybe?
Dropping soon.
Yeah.
You almost make it sound like it's going to be like on SoundCloud or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, link in bio, link in bio.
It does seem like Mueller is using sort of the, I don't know, like the recording artist timing thing where you go silent for a while and then people are like, oh shit, now I can't wait to find out like what he's about
to drop.
The
Mueller report came preloaded on my
Nas
new iPhone?
Is coming. yeah. By the way, just speaking about people, like stories coming out from behind the scenes of the White House, the story wherein somebody asks Trump how much he thinks the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman earns, and he says $5 million was one of my favorite things from over the weekend.
$5 million?
Yeah. He just assumes everyone's like a millionaire around him.
And that was probably him thinking of like a low number.
Right. Wait, how did that
like,
question?
Poor guy.
just someone on the spot like, hey, how much do the Joint Chiefs make? I don't know, $5 million. All right, moving on.
Chief of Staff John Kelly has told others about watching TV with Trump and asking the president how much the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff earns. Trump guessed $5 million, according to people who were told the story by Kelly. Startling the chief of staff, Kelly responded that he made less than $200,000. The president suggested he get a large raise and noted the number of stars on his uniform.
Oh, a star for $1 million a star.
For every star.
Look at all those stars. This guy deserves
at least
millions.
Four.
Yeah.
Why isn't there five? We're not more? Okay.
But yeah, he's just not a... This is the...
Wait, so someone quizzed him, basically? Like, you're like, hey, right. Mr. President, how much do you think he makes?
Well, or... Kelly comes off as like an annoying asshole in the story, too, because have you ever been like talking to somebody and they ask you a question that you think they're like genuinely curious about, but they know the answer?
Oh, just to try and fuck with you?
So like... you were just like... quizzing me?
Right.
Fuck you, man. But instead, Trump just started talking about all the shiny things on the guy's uniform because that's how his mind works.
He's like, what's that one? The American flag? Oh, yeah, that's
pretty
cool.
All the stars in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like...
So you should get 54. 54
like
million.
30,
stars. Yeah.
35 stars. Let's talk about Beto.
Yeah. Oh,
let's talk
that
about
guy, Beto O'Rourke.
O'Rourke,
he's up to something, huh?
Yeah,
he has something going in Texas. It looked like, and yeah, he says, I know that initially he was a little cryptic about maybe he'd run for 2020, maybe he won't.
Right,
and it seems like he's opening up more and more to the possibility of a presidential run. Now, I think he could be a good candidate. I'd love to see what the whole field looks like, but he's getting a lot of buzz from like many other people. I know Dan Pfeiffer, Crooked Media, wrote like a really glowing sort of piece about what is good about Beto and why he would be a great candidate. And I can't disagree with his points about just sort of the enthusiasm that was around that campaign because my fucking goodness, what I mean, like there are people in other states like caping for Beto O'Rourke who had nothing to do with Texas politics, but I think there was some kind of energy he had that was bringing everybody in. I mean, not just because his policies were pretty sane and things like that, but there was the enthusiasm that was very – there's something there. There's definitely something there to that.
I was one of those people in a way because I had some weeks off and I was going to travel to do comedy and stuff. So I went to a city where I could do comedy but also like canvas for not only a House candidate but also a Senate candidate.
Right, okay.
So I was like going around a little bit before the election like in Orange County and stuff where there was some – seats that could be flipped blue. But then I also was like, oh, there's one in Houston and there's a Senate candidate there that could, so it's like we'd be a double maximize the potential of each door.
Yeah.
In a way. And like when I was in Houston, like right, that was the week before the election. And like there was Beto signs everywhere, like in, you know, Texas, which is, you know, traditionally pretty red. And then there was whole bars that like had Beto signs. Like the whole scene seemed to be really like in love with
him. Yeah. One, not to mention like his lack of like taking corporate money and just raising BAFO dollars through dollar donations. Like, yeah, I can see what where they can like I get the momentum that if you were like running a campaign, you're like, ooh, this thing could run itself.
I think the fact that like the Democratic Party has such an open field, like as opposed to like 2016 where there was like one and a half really like candidates at the beginning, like because Bernie was going to run, but he wasn't really like a front runner per se. Right. It was Hillary was. Like there seems to be no real front runner for this. There's like 10 kind of like has some components like momentum, but like the ones that have the most are like maybe Bernie and then Beto, like with the biggest name recognition and enthusiasm behind them. And like that's the like because the open field of 2016 on the Republican side was kind of similar, where there was like a bunch of whatever candidates, and then there was Trump, who had universal name recognition and enthusiasm for whatever. Like he wasn't, if you ask most people, they'd be like, no, not really, but like he had the most.
Yeah.
Like, so even with like his, you know, duality rather than or plurality, I should say, rather than a majority, he like ran away with the nomination. So it's going to probably be someone like that who just has the most enthusiasm in 2020.
Yeah. Or just has some stellar debates or whatever. We'll see.
Right.
So why do you think you failed to get him elected, Jonah?
I mean,
what did you do wrong?
What happened?
I mean, I just got to assume that people didn't want to see my mustache in from California. They wanted their homegrown mustaches.
That ain't one, like, of you're good one of those mustaches.
One of those carpetbagging mustaches.
It's an ironic mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the point that, you know, you need somebody who's not just going to be the look at Trump, he's bad type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, you need people who are going to be like, I stand for him.
Right. Because Trump has a lot of enthusiasm behind him on the right. That is assuming that he runs.
Right.
Which Roger Stone, his longtime homie.
Famously honest Roger Stone.
Right. Thinks that Trump will not run. He claims he has no inside information, but he just doesn't understand why he would, since Trump has literally no sense of duty or, you know, doesn't really like the country in any way, is not a fan. Basically, he said, he believes that Trump likes the, quote, adulation part of being president, which I think we're all aware of. He doesn't like the fact that half the people in the country hate his guts.
Aww.
I'm not totally sure about that. He seems to get, you know, they say extroverts get re-energized from being around people and introverts get re-energized by being alone. I feel like Trump gets energy from just conflict and people disliking mm-hmm. him. But then he points out he's hypersensitive to criticism. I could easily see him saying, well, I made America great. I'm heading to the golf course. Good luck, Mike. which would be...
I mean, I buy that because it didn't seem like that he really wanted to be president in the election either. Like, I think he was fine, like, just becoming second fiddle, starting a media empire, and then using that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, it's the same reason. Like, I ran for president of my high school mostly so I could talk in front of people through a microphone.
There you go.
It was for the stage time.
For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Trump loves being on a stage. Like, he loves performing at all those rallies. He's just doing his set. Like, he just loves the rallies.
Right. Just do an arena fucking tour.
Yeah.
You know?
Those crowds aren't going anywhere.
They're and, like, let him just exist in that, but, you know, just do your... Just Larry the Cable Guy.
He can do that without being president very easily.
Yeah, and he'll be like, I love this.
He'll have like a certain cult following no matter what.
Yeah.
Still, I think this is underestimating the intensity of his personality disorder.
His competitive drive.
Like, the size of the sucking vortex of a black hole at the center of his soul. Like, he can't take the idea that people would see him as failing in any way. And so even if he... can tell himself I made America great again, the negative media. I could definitely see him being like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to run. And then the second he starts getting negative press, be like, I tricked you.
Right.
Yeah. I am going to run, it turns out.
Well, you know, Roger Stone, he's like you say, Jono. Well, who knows what this man knows?
Yeah, it's just him speculating, but he has been friends with Trump for 40 years. So,
and he got that sick Nixon tattoo.
Right.
So...
all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. So let's move on to one of the causes of that. The president, Donald Trump.
Oh, give him a break.
No. The president not getting enough credit is what I was going to say.
Thank God.
And this liberal media just not giving him his fair shake because he came out. This was a big Drudge headline, which I'll be interested to see how the conservatives deal with this. But he came out and said, "I blow Ronald Reagan away." Basically, he's complaining that his long list of achievements are far greater than Ronald Reagan, but you would never know it because of the fake news media. And he even argues that conservative pundits and conservative Republicans and columnists, all these people, they just won't give him his fair credit because his name is Donald Trump. And if you said his name was John Smith, he would be known as far greater than Ronald Reagan.
John Barron.
Wait, that's a quote?
Yeah, that's a quote. If you said that conservative president John Smith did that, they would say he's the greatest president, far greater than Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
It's just it's an impressive, I don't know, like logical contortionism where he's able to kind of dissociate himself with every negative thing that he's ever done. He's like, that makes you think my name is bad.
Yeah.
But it's not like
you guys are
just
looking at all the bad shit I'm doing.
Right.
That is crazy. Ronald Reagan worked with the CIA to commit his crimes.
Right. Come on.
Not against them. Come on.
Yeah. That is the big difference, I think.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we'll see how many roads they have named after him because, you know, like so many fucking things are named after Reagan from all the money people were making in the 80s and during his administration. I don't know about this anymore.
The airport in D.C. is named after him.
Yeah.
What's going to be named after Trump? Like, who is going to go that far aside from like your kooky, like big dollar donors or whatever who's like, I'll name this building after him, but like, I don't know.
I think even Trump's existing buildings won't be named after him.
Right.
Like there, my fantasy right now is that like he sees the T being ripped off Trump Tower, and that's when he dies.
Right. And he's pushing a shopping cart.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this is my building. All right.
But I mean, that's already happening around the world. Like certain areas that have
those
aren't his buildings. They only licensed the name as a branding thing. So like, once his brand is so toxic, once he's exposed as a worldwide criminal, then probably less of a.
Or he has to deal with all the vandalism
because
people are just like, "Fuck this thing!" I'm like, messing the signage up.
Mm-hmm. The only Trump Tower will probably be in Moscow, the one that doesn't exist yet.
Well, one day,
and he'll I mean, like that's the big deal we keep hearing about. It's gonna happen.
Oh, I'm ready.
Well, let's talk about the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Contributing to our existential panic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday we were talking about how I thought it made sense that Paul Manafort was probably just telling everything that was going on during his plea deal to Mueller, basically, because this guy's he makes no sense and he's a career criminal. And then the New York Times did, in fact, report that even after taking a plea deal, his lawyer was regularly reporting back to the White House on like everything Mueller was asking about and basically just arming them with a game plan for the president's defense.
I'm so disappointed. Like,
I thought we could actually trust this guy, you know? I mean,
you have always said that.
Yeah. I mean, what else has got to happen?
Yeah.
He was taken off a house arrest.
Right.
After that, I thought, nope, this is the end of it, you know, because, you know, witness tampering. I thought this was going to be it. we can believe in him now. He's gotten that out of his system. But
yeah.
This is so shocking and disappointing.
I know.
What are you going to do? You know?
You think you know.
Heroes.
This is America. But yeah, I think it was really interesting also to see how like Rudy Giuliani, he's also quoted in this New York Times article where he's almost like gloating about it. Where he was almost like fist pumping, like, yeah, we played Robert Mueller's dumbass. He
thought, right,
oh, he was dealing with him.
The right
was our
seems
mole
to be spiking the football on this. The Drudge Report's headline is Mueller cornered? ? And it's just links through to an article being like, yeah, Manafort was reporting back to the White House about everything. And it's just like, so are you guys, like, you guys admit that there's something to hide here and you're just, like, trying to fuck with the investigation?
Right.
Like, they seem to have crossed a line where they're openly, like, haha, fuck you. We made it so you can't find out the thing we didn't do wrong.
I mean, that's really the only hands they have left to play are just, like, these weird, like, sort of
Hail Marys.
Yeah, and, like, intellectually, morally bankrupt ideas about, like, how this investigation is working and where the power is residing at the moment. I have no clue. But
in that article, there was some line about like Giuliani speaking about it, like, yeah, of course he was telling the president, like, like, we wanted to know what was going on, or
yeah,
something
right
to that
it helped
effect.
Us form a legal defense.
I'm paraphrasing, but you're like, what? That I can't believe that's legal.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's the amazing thing too, because when all these like former U.S. attorneys and people from DOJ were being interviewed on all the shows, they're all being like, I mean, so what it like, you know, this is illegal. They're like, no,
no
it's just
not
unethical.
Right.
But because we lived in a country where people used to give a fuck.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing is like that lawyer is going to look like a total asshole after this, because typically the one thing they were saying is, you know, even though Manafort and Trump had this joint defense agreement, that once you flip, meaning you have switched teams, mm-hmm, there is no longer a reason to have a joint defense agreement, because at that point you are on the opposition side, but was still carrying on with it and didn't dissolve the agreement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when you couple that with like all the shit that Jerome Corsi is also like up against too, you're like, yo, these people know, like, they're in too fucking deep, and they're just angling for their pardons, because Corsi fucking just dumped his plea deal like on Twitter, was like, hey, check out what Robert Mueller's trying to do. And that's basically like Robert Mueller outlining all of his crimes, namely that he was acting as a fucking conduit between Roger Stone and WikiLeaks. And so like you're starting to see what Mueller knows and what they're up against, and just sort of they're like, all right, fuck it. We'll just lie about everything. We'll pardon it. Let's just see if this thing will blow over.
Yeah, they're
over.
Just gunning for pardons.
Yeah, but the emails that they have between like they're like Roger Stone and like Jerome Corsi are like Stone's like, I just have to read in this thing because it's so vague. In this document, the draft agreement of the plea deal, it says Roger Stone emails Jerome Corsi, and this is a quote that Roger Stone wrote, quote, get to, and it's redacted, and in a parenthetical says, the founder of Organization One at Ecuadorian Embassy in London, and get the pending Organization One emails. They deal with Foundation. So you're like, okay, so get to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to talk about the Clinton Foundation's emails. And then Jerome Corsi just sent like some like local journalist guy who he works with, who's living in the UK, to go meet with Assange. And then the timeline of looking at like what these emails show and what Roger Stone was saying, you're like, oh, you guys, it's like now just really in your face now.
So I have a question. Things move so fast and it's so confusing. But so this Manafort, this story that The Guardian printed yesterday about Manafort meeting with Julian Assange at the
Ecuadorian embassy.
And then at the end of the day, it was like, well, we might not be able to verify that, or what, saying like people have been fact checking and trying to reach out, but the Guardian stands behind its sourcing.
Right.
And so that's not something that we can count as being true, or is you guys have any more information on that? No.
It was just so specific because they described what outfit he was wearing. So it just seems like if it's believing a journalistic institution that claims that they have it backed up and have like exactly what his outfit was when he was doing it versus believing
Paul Manafort.
I'm going with the journalistic institution.
God, it's just old habits are diehard, you know? Like, I really want to believe Manafort.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't blame you.
Also, Trump has, as we're recording this, a story is breaking that he said in an Oval Office interview that a pardon for Paul Manafort is on the table.
Oh, God.
Of course. Of course he
did. Of course it is.
But that seemed too, I don't know, like, blatant a while back, but
it's
now
all
it
they
just,
got.
It really does seem like, I mean, both in the reaction of kind of spiking the football and Giuliani like fist pumping and the Drudge Report just skipping over the idea of a crime being committed and being like, ah, they've outmaneuvered Mueller. It just seems like a line has been crossed where now it doesn't matter if they committed a crime originally. Now it's just about like a game of chess, whether Mueller, who just inherently is bad because he's not on their side, whether he can like find out what they did. And so if you're in that space, then yeah, why wouldn't you pardon Manafort? Because that's going to help you the most. And who are you going to get shit from? Not your base, which is all they
care
about.
Right. Yeah, the base doesn't care. I think it's very, there's no way you can deny that shit happened.
Like, right.
It's just obvious. And they know it.
Yeah.
They know it. They don't care.
Yeah. The wheels are coming off. So that's why it's just like, well, fuck like any sort of moral argument about this. Like, well, let's just try and obscure the facts as much as possible.
Yeah.
We got Matthew Whitaker in there, too. So
yeah. And who knows like what he's willing to do or not do yet. And if like all this stuff that Paul Manafort and Jerome Corsi are pulling, like because there's maybe they have some other greater plan with Matt Whitaker at DOJ that they'll figure out some other way to sidestep all this. But yeah, yeah. I mean, either way.
All right, guys, let's check in with Megazi. Uh-oh. It's been a while, and it not because nothing's been happening, but we wanted to check in with one Leslie Moonves because it's really starting to get to like Weinstein levels with this dude. He's just basically sexually assaulting women nonstop and just being like, "I'll cast you on a CBS show if
like as a."
That seems to be his
consolation
thing. Because we're just now finding out from women who are like, yeah, and then I quit because that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So I quit acting. But
wasn't before like it was he was trying to act like it was like a couple things and he didn't really remember shit.
And it was like, consensual. And
right,
that's what he's saying about this young woman who at the time was, I think, in her early 20s in 1992. She was up and coming and got a meeting with him. She didn't know he was like this big, powerful guy. And he, I mean, the quote is, he said, "Be my girlfriend and I'll put you on any show." Then he grabbed her by the neck, pushed her to her knees and forced his penis into her mouth. And then the other awesome quote from him is because he's worried about his $120 million payout from CBS, like they fired him, but he has it in his contract that he gets $120 million. And he said, "I think I'll be okay, but if Bobby talks, I'm done." And Bobby is the woman who he's talking about there.
So
wait, when did he, who did he say that to?
To Bobby's manager, who he was trying to like work with. Yeah. It's actually,
oh, to
it
like
also,
keep it like on the low?
Right. It exposes this whole sort of weird like system where managers and like,
right.
agents work with
the predators,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, work with the predators.
Because they all get like, a check too.
Right. And so Moonves knew.
They do?
Yeah, if you're an agent or whatever and like they're
well,
on
you
a
get
show.
A commission.
Yeah, so for you, it behooves the manager.
I was
to be
like, they get a mouth shut check?
Right. Yeah. So, no, so this manager was like, you know, he knew that something went on. So, and he knew that Moonves knew that. So even though this actress was not like trying to get any roles and wasn't getting anything, Moonves was basically paying this guy off by giving his other clients work. And he like specifically at one point in the article says, "Come on, man, we got to make you some money." Like,
wow.
So he's
Ew.
Just, yeah.
Also, so, but is his exit package of $120 million, is that still up in the air?
Like, it's still up in the air.
Because CBS has to, well, at the time, they're like, "We were going to do our own investigation,"
yeah, yeah.
quote unquote, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yo, don't fucking pay this man a fucking cent.
Right. Like, who is going to possibly blame you for not paying him anything? And
also, do they name this manager or whatever who's been out here?
he named himself. He apparently, like, he's old and seems like he's sort of a not all there type guy.
Oh.
Like an elderly dude. He mainly represents like daytime TV actors and actresses. And,
right.
But the story's weird because it like has all these details about this dude like went to the Spam Museum when he was on vacation and bought a t-shirt for like Les Moonves and his kid and like brought it back to them like, hey, here, I got you something. Just like he was like trying to get in Les Moonves' orbit for so long.
What a creepy fucking gift.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's just an all around creepy, problematic relationship that once again just proves why Hollywood is the grossest town in the world. And just talking about what you were saying with the CBS internal investigation. So Tom Brokaw apparently has some shit in his closet. There is a NBC journalist who claims that he sexually harassed her. And she is coming out and basically asking Comcast, the parent company of NBC, to conduct an investigation with their own outside counsel rather than like leaving it up to NBC to investigate itself. Because
why would they do that?
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the most, she just in her statements is making tons of sense.
Right.
Like, everyone should be forced to have external investigation because if it's your company, how are you incentivized to find like terrific acts of terror?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially when you have stuff like in CBS's case, they're like, well, look, if we can find a way, like, you know, they're looking at a $120 million package. How do they balance that? Do they pay him? Do they not? You'd think in the CBS case, it would behoove them to be like, well, we're not going to pay you because we don't even want to pay that money out. Or, but even then, just to have, it's like anything we've seen over the last all of the time.
Right.
That, yeah, these companies that are doing the, or have employees that are doing bullshit, they just do their own investigation, sort of obscure things to, you know.
And they're like, wow, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I guess this guy will keep working.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, have a good weekend.
I don't get also, like, do they have to pay? Like, why would you have to pay a fucking horrible predator $120 million? Why do you have to pay a criminal?
Because he has very good lawyers, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they write these contracts that are just sort of like, even in the event of criminal behavior, right, it's like, there's this agreement.
Before any of this shit comes out, he's like got negotiations, and he's probably negotiating about stuff like, if I get fired for cause, and I won't, trust me, but let's just say a thing or two comes out, then let's just have it in there that I still get that 120 large.
Right.
Yeah, and he's like, and also I did kill two people, but
with my dick.
Yeah,
I apologize.
That's gotta be worth something,
right? He also did this a very similar thing to a medical student at UCLA who was like doing a physical exam on him. He like sexually assaulted her while he was supposed to be just getting a regular physical exam, and she eventually came out. She was one of the first whistleblowers.
Right. And like UCLA was trying to be like,
yeah, UCLA basically just, they were like, he's very powerful in this town. So
shout out to my alma mater.
Try harder, UCLA.
Me too.
Yeah.
My wife's alma mater too. The literal medical school.
Oh, really?
So come on, guys. Do better. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Melania is back with her triumphant return to holiday decorating. And, yo, it is
a hellscape.
It is literally a hellscape.
Have you seen the photos?
I saw like one.
Okay, here, I'll just go through them. So, yes, this year's theme was...
There are Christmas trees made of blood.
The theme was American treasures, and the statement is, the White House says, decorations include a tree trimmed by Gold Star families, okay, that makes sense, an array of topiary trees, and mantelpieces featuring the skylines of New York City, St. Louis, Chicago, and San Francisco. And here's some, like, concept designs. Then she's literally walking around blood piles of just, like, congealed... entrails of the downtrodden people. Yeah. Then a really nice like wreath made out of Be Best pencils, which I very, you know, I guess shout out to yourself. It's Christmas.
So. It's very crafty.
There's like the video that I think was released from her Twitter account that we took all these clips from. It's just like her just like being in awe of her own, you know, design prowess.
And then I really did it.
What like, do you guys think of this tree topper?
Tree topper is very Nazi-tastic.
Yeah.
It is
a golden eagle with its wings spread, which, looks like it belongs in at the top of a flagpole in a classroom.
At the Reichstag.
Yeah.
Sure, Melania. That's cool for you. That's how you want to design your house as your house.
Yeah.
I don't look forward to being invited ever, but...
So the trees made entirely out of cranberries, like branches of cranberry. I believe so, based on the progression where they show us the cranberry branches and then the
trees.
Is
that a cranberry?
I don't know what that is.
Aren't they grown in a bog?
Yeah, that's true.
It looks like giant elves were buried there and just like their hats sticking
out. Or wasn't it in War of the Worlds like where the machines just like picked people up and then just shat out like weird goo?
Well, it wasn't goo. It was it turned them into ash.
Oh,
and it was a very clear reference to 9/11, actually.
Oh, was it?
I think so. Because he's like running around and there's like ash all over him from like disintegrated people.
Oh, and right.
You remember?
But what movie am I thinking of where like they were leaving behind like red webbing on like the whatever. That's not important.
Yeah.
Because this
but
is
this really looks like
Melania's like don't. It looks spoil like my my Hanukkah decorations.
It looks like a more dramatic. If you like did a freeze frame on the moment after the blood elevators open in The Shining, and then like because it looks like it's just red cascading down. Like,
yeah,
it really looks. And then there is on one of the trees, there is not the blood trees, the regular Christmas trees. There's just a
the official White House
an
tree,
ornament. Right? The official White House tree. There's an ornament that just says Puerto Rico.
Did you see that picture on Twitter that when the tree was brought in, Trump slapped like the horse's ass? That was like bringing the tree in. There was like a horse, some horse-drawn carriage
from
pulled
one
up to the
another.
White House.
Hey,
it was. There's just a photo of him, just like as if he were at like some stockyard assessing
right.
like the
that's
the
just
product.
Like muscle memory for him.
Yeah,
I
right,
think.
Right.
He can't
yeah.
not slap something on the ass.
Right. He's like, oh, I can't resist.
Yeah, but this is all just a waking nightmare.
Do you have? Do you all have like Christmas ornaments you put up every year? Do you still do this?
No? I'm a Jew.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't.
What about you?
Yeah.
Do you have a pickle that you put on your tree?
Yeah.
What is with
well,
that?
We just got that like a few years ago, and I forget what tradition it's from, but somebody...
I have a pickle. Her Majesty has a pickle. That's why we have one.
Yeah.
And it just says she has a pickle on her tree.
Yeah. Somebody gave it to us. I mean, we just started doing Christmas trees because we're, but we, even growing up, we did not have a pickle. But now my new tree has a pickle.
Wow.
I think that just like broke wide, like that tradition.
The pickle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, explain it to us, Zeitgang.
Because we're too lazy to Google.
What, like a real pickle?
No, like a pickle ornament.
Oh.
Yeah.
Moldy, disgusting, rotten pickle.
Interesting.
Use the same one. It's hard as a rock.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, holiday culture, people are rewatching the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer film, the old claymation classic. And they're finally coming around to a fact that I learned back in 2010 when one of the crack writers revisited it, that this movie is wildly fucked up. It's crazy. It's amazing how mean Santa is to everybody.
Oh, I was going to say, how dare Rudolph think he's better than everybody?
I know. Sure. No, it's actually not that. Rudolph, it's just nonstop bullying that goes completely unacknowledged. Like, not, you know, there's the bullying from the reindeers who are like, no, Rudolph, fuck you. Your nose is red. But Santa bullies everybody around him. Like, the elves, at one point, Santa's like stressed out because Christmas is coming up. And for some reason, they've made the decision that Santa doesn't deal well with stress in this show. And so the elves try and sing him a Christmas song to get him in the mood. And much like Katie, he's no fan of Christmas music.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, did you like it, Mr. Santa? And he goes, it needs work. Now I've got to go. And like storms out. And then later he's eating dinner with his wife. And she's like, you're not eating your food. And he's like, I can't eat because of how bad that stupid elf song was. Like, he's
oh.
just
oh,
like,
he sounds like a monster.
He is a fucking human monster. And it's also like a good illustration of how like a toxic person like that can spread to everyone else. Because mm-hmm. when Rudolph is born, Santa looks at him and is like, oh my God, I hope that nose goes away. And then his dad is there and bullies him for the rest of Rudolph's life and is like, hide your
Wait,
nose,
who's
Rudolph.
Dad?
Rudolph's dad. Rudolph's dad makes him wear a black thing over his nose.
And oh. Rudolph's dad isn't a magical reindeer that can fly? Or is he one of the others?
I don't know.
Well, maybe
I don't
if Rudolph's
exactly
dad wasn't
works.
Working with all those unsafe chemicals, make building toys, maybe his child would have a birth defect, Santa. Maybe just look at the working conditions in your workshop. Also, Santa in this his claymation form looks like a character from Duck Dynasty.
Yes.
Or something
he
like
that. He does.
Just like with his beard and like,
oh,
he
yeah.
has angry ass eyebrows.
Doesn't look like someone I'd want to work for. Side note, does Santa pay his elves?
Hey, come on. Whoa.
Santa's
there.
A white slave owner.
What right. is this? What are you, the AFL-CIO over here?
Right. Yes, actually, I am.
Yeah, his facial hair is definitely very, like, Habsburg Empire.
Right, yeah.
Just, he looks like a
one of the
Austro-Hungarian
Kaiser's
friend. But at one point, Santa tells Rudolph's father, you should be ashamed of yourself for having a son who has a red nose. And when Rudolph eventually redeems himself by just being useful to
right.
Santa for one night, like nobody starts valuing him. They're just like, God, can you tone it down, Rudolph, with that nose? Like, that actually, that's a line.
So even when he proves himself, people are still like...
Actually, I think we have the clip of the night when Santa realizes that he can use Rudolph, and he still treats him like shit.
I've got some bad news, folks. Christmas is going to be canceled. There's nothing I can do. This weather. Yeah. Rudolph, please. Could you tone it down a bit? I mean, that nose of yours.
I mean, that was a pretty obnoxious sound. Right.
Yeah.
Was his nose whistling?
His nose.
He's a baby deer, and he hasn't learned how to control his powers.
Right.
Yeah.
But then nobody is like, you're all right in my book, Rudolph. They're just like, still fuck you, man, but thanks for lighting the way.
I take a little bit of issue with the idea that Santa's the only reason Christmas exists, this message that's being shoved
Christmas
down our throats.
Christmas is canceled. Right.
That it's just only about presents. It is about presidents.
I mean, guys, we're losing sight, and we all know that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember
Christmas
that.
Is canceled. I demand you all refuse to go to church and celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Talk to your family. Do not enjoy a hearty breakfast. Take out your trees.
Then there's the Island of Misfit Toys, where defective sentient toys go to die of exposure, apparently. They just all like live on this frigid island. There's like a train with square wheels, a doll with depression, it seems like. That's like what she just like doesn't have anything wrong with her.
Like
but
human
seems to
eyes
be, like,
for once.
Depressed. And then a toy bird that can't fly but can swim. And they're never a mention. So in the original version, like Rudolph goes there and it's like this horrifying, like, oh no, these people, now we see what real freaks look like. And then he goes back and saves the day. And they never mention it again. But because children presumably were existentially horrified by the prospect that there's just abandoned toys out there that are going to die of old age, they decided to like tack on a thing where Santa and the elves return and give the toys homes. But at one point at the end, they throw the flightless bird off the sleigh. Like as it's flying through the sky, and that's how like they just don't mention again.
They just kill the bird.
Yeah, they just kill it.
You're like, you're tiny and small, but no room.
Oh, you can't fly? Well, good luck falling from this height.
I think it's supposed to be like a bit where it's like he thinks it's a bird, so he probably thinks it can fly. Like it's not like they did it unacknowledged, but it's fucked up.
It's funny because
this is the only way you'll learn how to fly.
Yeah, by death.
But anyways, there's all these tweets that I've been noticing, and I think Yahoo wrote an article about like just all the people who are like, wow, Santa's a fucking dick, man.
Right, like, or like
just
nihilist Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Santa, very weird that we invite this old man into our homes every year.
I know.
Right.
I was trying to explain Santa to my son and like keep it upbeat, but I can tell like there's the like a flicker of terror in his eyes as I was just like, then he comes to our house.
But you'll be asleep.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.